Hello and welcome to the Learning to Mom podcast. If you're new here, my name is Layla and I inform first-time moms on pregnancy and birth without overwhelming them. But I wanted to come on here quickly and just kind of give you a little bit of a trigger warning that today's episode is all about infertility in honor of this being National Infertility Awareness Week. I have Dr. Roxanne Perro back on the podcast to just shed some light into infertility to make women feel not so alone, as well as share some practical tips in overcoming it or navigating it. But it by no means is a be all, end all. It's a very quick episode. It just provides an overview. But I am very excited to share with you my conversation with Dr. Roxanne Perro. Hey, Dr. Perro, thank you so much for coming back to the Learning to Mom Season 1 podcast. Welcome back. It's so good to have you here. And I'm especially really excited to chat with you about infertility and fertility, because I know that's just a big passion of yours.
Thanks, Layla. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Now, we have so much content that we need to cover. So I do want to kind of just jump right into things. But before we do that, do you mind kind of introducing yourself to the listeners?
Sure, absolutely. So I am currently a practicing OBGYN in Dallas. I was, I guess you could say, conventional, more modern, traditional OBGYN practice for about 11 years, doing all the deliveries, seeing all of the patients, and more recently in the last year, I've kind of slowed the pace down and done a lot more personalized medicine. So I'm integrating functional holistic medicine with conventional medicine. And I currently am obsessed and loving the space that I'm in. So I'm excited to give you guys all the information and educate you.
Before we get super deep into this topic, because this is a deep conversation that needs to be respected, I wanted to tell you about something and I wanted to tell it to you now, before things get too heavy. If you have Googled good pregnancy workouts or how to work out safely while pregnant, then I want to tell you about the workout program that I'm doing in my pregnancy. Fit Mama in 30 is their name because their workouts don't take more than 30 minutes. I do them right from my living room with Mila literally right next to me, but you can take them to the gym or outside or wherever because it's all virtual online. Now, I love that the workouts are recorded workouts of Carrie and Bailey working out alongside of you. These are the two women who started the program and who are trained prenatal training specialists. I love that because one, it just makes you feel like you're not working out alone. And then two, they're able to give great tips during the exercises and you can see it visually to make sure you have the right form down. I signed up for the annual membership because it's more cost effective than the monthly plan, and it'll be way easier for me just to like flow right into the postpartum course that I'm definitely going to be taking once baby is here. And because you're a Learning to Mom listener, if you use the code Learning to Mom, all caps, all one word, then you get the biggest discount they have. And it takes an additional $20 off their annual plan. This link is in the episode show notes if you want to learn more. Okay, so first, I am curious to know just how common infertility is. I know that, you know, it is something that a lot of women struggle with silently. And I think so often we aren't aware that like we're not suffering alone.
Absolutely. Yes. It's over 6 million women right now are suffering from infertility.
Oh my gosh.
In the United States, 6 million. Yes. So about 1 in 10 to 11 women. So we all have 10 girlfriends, at least, you know, one of us is suffering from infertility. And unfortunately, I think we're hearing it more and more often that someone we know is dealing with infertility.
Now, I'm not a science medical person, so this might be like really ignorant to ask, but if one in 10 or 11 women are experiencing that, like, could that also be males, or is that strictly like female infertility?
No, so it's just infertility, period. So, okay. Couple, you know,
okay.
So yeah. And that could be, you know, that it's the male that's the the determining factor of why they're having infertility, because 40% of infertility is from male factor. So that's huge. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious about that. So, with that high statistic, what are some of the leading causes of female infertility that you may see today?
So, leading causes, we said male factor infertility. So, low sperm count, poor sperm quality, motility issues. So, movement of the sperm up from the vagina into the fallopian tube where a sperm meets an egg. And then endometriosis, uterine fibroids, polycystic ovary syndrome are all big risk factors for infertility for women. Tubal factor. So when you have damaged fallopian tubes that aren't able to carry an egg and a sperm that have been fertilized together from the tube where they meet to the uterus, then that could be a big reason why someone is unable to get pregnant. And, and so a lot of the polycystic ovary syndrome and endometriosis falls into anovulatory infertility, which means that they're not ovulating consistently, and therefore they're not releasing an egg to meet the sperm. And then you think about we're seeing a lot of rising issues with infertility as far as egg quality and quantity, especially in young women. And for me, this was one of my diagnoses for infertility was low ovarian reserve. So ovarian reserve just means, how many eggs and how good are they as far as their DNA makeup, their chromosomal function, how good and how good do they look to help you to get pregnant? So for me, I was ovulating every month, but they weren't good quality eggs for the sperm to be like, oh yeah, I want to, fertilize that one. Okay. And so why are we seeing a lot of issues with egg quality these days? It has a lot to do with the environmental toxins that we're exposed to and that we're putting in our body, as well as the nutrition that we're currently, looking at as far as the standard American diet in our life.
Do you see a difference in like the amount of infertility that the US has compared to other countries because of, the toxins and the nutrition that we have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Is Canada's pretty similar?
Canada's, I'm not certain about that. I'll have to look it up, but I think, in countries like, I mean, I think England is very comparable to us because they have a lot of the same, nutrition and things like that. France, does not have, as much infertility as some like the United States does. But I'll have to look up Canada. It'd be interesting to know. But I feel like they probably eat a little bit better in Canada, get a little bit more exercise. So, and they've got a lot more tighter regulations and restrictions on the toxins that are allowed to be in processed foods and things like that.
For sure. And not even just in processed food, but also in the stuff like in our skincare and in our
Right,
deodorant and in our shampoo. There's a lot.
exactly.
On that, and I know that it's so personal to each woman, right? But what are your like greatest tips perhaps to someone who is thinking about starting a family and thinking about conceiving? They're like, lower this or it. Make sure you're doing XYZ more. What are some of those little things that we should start incorporating?
So everything that is getting you on the right track for reproductive health is getting you on the right track for overall optimal health. So even if that's not on your radar, even if you've decided that you don't want to have children, if you are moving in that direction of I'm doing everything to optimize my health, period, you're going to be on the right track for your reproductive health when you're ready to use it for fertility, I guarantee you. So, and the biggest part of that is really nutrition. I mean, there is so much to be said for, we are what we eat. If you're putting whole foods, organic foods, minimally processed foods in your body, then that is what your body wants and needs to provide energy to your ovaries to want to ovulate, to keep your hormones, your estradiol, your progesterone, your testosterone all balanced, to help your thyroid function appropriately, your adrenal glands, and all of those have a beautiful dance that has to happen in order for a good quality egg to meet a sperm.
Okay. What about things, like lowering your use of plastics? Like, is that
Absolutely.
negligible or does that still help?
Oh, no, absolutely. That definitely still helps.
Okay.
So, BPA, phthalates, those are endocrine disruptors. There's plenty of evidence. It's not, and the crazy thing is that it sounds crazy. When I tell someone, oh, well, if you want to improve your fertility, stop heating up plastic in the microwave, and they're like, that sounds so stupid. Like, how could a little thing like that impact my health? But it's
So true.
huge. It's a huge endocrine disruptor, BPAs and phthalates. And so, really working on getting plastics out of your life altogether, really dissecting the labels of everything that you're putting in your body or on your skin or in your hair is huge as well. And so, I always direct patients to apps that they can use to scan their products and really get an idea. And it's not about going crazy. It's not about throwing everything out that you all of a sudden, find, is not the best for your body. It's
Okay.
just about slowly reducing that toxic burden. Can you
Yeah.
get it as low as possible? And then once you're at the point where, and I talk about this all the time, today I'm wearing a non-toxic concealer. I tried a new one out after some recommendations from Instagram, but I was in love and just lusted over my, toxic concealer, and I could never bring myself to, think about anything differently because it looks so good on me. But everything else, as far as my makeup routine, was clean. And so I didn't put that pressure on myself. I was just like, you know what? In time, I'm gonna find one. I'm just going. So it's making forward progress without necessarily feeling like you need to go off the deep end when it comes to those things.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I think that's kind of where I'm at now, where it's instead of like, as you know, my foundation, I'm not decreases. I'm not going to get the same one, but when it's
Yes.
up, then I'll make the switch instead of just
Yes.
like dropping, the $300 or so now on
Exactly.
new makeup.
Exactly.
What are some of those apps that you just mentioned?
Yeah. So my favorite is the Yuka app, Yuka.
Okay.
And so you just like download it and then you start scanning your products, and it gives you why they have a poor rating, if there's an endocrine disruptor in it. And then, and also I tell patients, well, look at that with a grain of salt, because like I had one product that was from a company whose standard was, hey, we have less than 1% of this potential endocrine disruptor in our product. And studies have shown that if you keep it at less than 1%, then it should not act as an endocrine disruptor. So, understand
Okay.
that, when you look at that, what it says, okay, well, just explore and make sure that that's one that you feel like you need to throw out, or is it just in the fine detail that you need to say, okay, well, this makes sense that, it's still less than 1%, so I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Dang. Well, back to kind of my deep dive into infertility here, our brief deep dive, getting as deep as we can go in our short in the shortest amount of time. When is the time to see an infertility specialist? Like, how long should you have been trying for before you're like, you know what? We're actually not having, like, it's time. Is this years or is this months?
It depends on a couple of things. Okay.
Okay.
So, traditionally we've always said, okay, well, if you're less than 35 and you're trying, then you should actively try to get pregnant for a whole year, so 12 cycles before you reach out. Okay.
Okay.
If you're 35 or older, you should think about coming in at 6 months for a fertility consult. Okay. At this point, I tell patients again, follow your intuition. You know, I mean, I checked in with my doctor at about like that 8 month mark because I just had that feeling. And still insisted that I try for a year, and I went on to have 5 years of infertility after that. So really push and say, okay, yeah, I appreciate that you know, had that confidence in me, but I really feel like I just kind of want to check in with a fertility doctor and get some blood work done just to make sure that everything looks good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you can make a fertility doctor consult appointment on your own. You don't need to go through your OBGYN. Okay. That. So
now when you go to a fertility doctor, is the first thing that they do like blood work, you know, like symptoms and blood work?
It depends. So most fertility doctors really want blood work done at certain points in your cycle. Obviously, if you're okay. not cycling, if you have irregular periods, then they may do it, you know, at that first visit. But most of the time they like a day 1 to 3 hormone lab, or after you ovulate, they want labs done. So it might differ for when you go in. Most fertility doctors will give you information for if you have a male partner to get the sperm, to get a semen analysis checked okay. and done. And they don't have to do that on the same day, and they don't have to do it there. They take a sample, little cup home, and they can do it at the in the convenience of their home, and then bring the sample back. And then the other big thing that they usually make sure that patients are scheduled for is what's called an HSG. So it's a hysterosalpingogram. It's an X-ray test that's done to check for the openness or the patency of the fallopian tubes to make sure that those are open and able to accept a fertilized embryo.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. That kind of went over my head at the end there. So it's like, okay. No, I actually don't know what that means, but okay.
Just X-ray test. It's just an X-ray test. You lay on a table. Well, I say it's not just an X-ray test. It's actually like people should probably know that it's quite uncomfortable because you go in at a certain day in your cycle and you lay down on like an X-ray table and they have the X-ray machine over you, but your legs are in stirrups. They put a speculum in and then they thread a tiny little tube, which still, you know, causes a lot of cramping because it's a foreign body. They thread that into your vagina, into your cervix, into your uterus, and then they push dye into your uterus. And then they take the X-ray to see that dye spilling out of your. So it's not fun to do at all. And patients really should be prepped to know that it's okay. quite uncomfortable. And so there's a couple of interventions that they can do to help with, you know, reducing cramping and pain control. So obviously, you know, you can do NSAIDs, Tylenol, ibuprofen about an hour before. If you don't do NSAIDs or Tylenol, I work with a lot of holistic women. So white willow bark can function just the same for reducing cramping and pain. And again, you can take that an hour before that procedure. But yeah.
Dang, that makes pap smears look like a walk in the park.
Yeah. Talk about. Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. Holy cow. Well, I did want to ask you this question before we wrap up. What are some of the biggest misconceptions out there regarding fertility or regarding infertility?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest misconceptions is probably around the success rates with fertility treatments. So, I can't get pregnant. I'm just going to go do IVF. IVF success rate at best 60 to 65% chance. And it's a, you know, we all know it's a huge financial investment for most women because it likely isn't all the way covered or if at all covered on insurance. So that's really when like the work that I do now comes into play because I talk to women about what they can do on their own, as far as nutrition, supplements, self-care, to help increase the success rate of fertility treatments. So, and you know, also too, I think that the misconception is that, oh, well, if I have polycystic ovary syndrome and I'm not ovulating on my own, then the only way to ovulate is to get fertility medicine. And it's not true. We have women all the time when they change their nutrition, when they tailor their diet and their lifestyles to PCOS, we see some profound improvements with them cycling regularly. And it's just a beautiful thing, you know, to understand that for infertility, your body is not broken. You should not be ashamed. And that's actually the time where you have to be your body's biggest cheerleader and really embrace what's going on with your body and know that if that's what you want, you will get pregnant. So
dang. I love how and how empowering that is to know that there are options. I heard of a story, I don't it, just through the grapevine of this woman who was like in her 30s, but wasn't like 39, you know, I guess early to mid 30s, and struggled with infertility. And her doctor was just like, IVF, you know, here we go, IVF. And so knowing that there are options out there.
Yes.
And yeah, it's again to that, it's a what, 60% success rate is what you said?
60, 65, Yeah. And that, yeah, just like I said, it's just so much of current trends for medicine is so disempowering for the woman. It's like, okay, well, you can't get pregnant on your own, so let IVF do it for you. Well, you can't, you don't tell me how to deliver your baby. I'm the expert. I'm going to do it. Sure, it's your body and your baby, but I'm going to tell you, you know, it's just like, it's so disempowering. It's past time to change the narrative on how we treat women and make them part of the team, because they're the most important part of the team and they get left out.
I think that trend is changing, which is so exciting. I see that definitely in the trend now that's coming of get off birth control. Like that's just a band-aid that doesn't fix anything, and how empowering it is to like know your cycle. Like I have the temp drop. You know, like it takes your temperature or whatever. And I just feel so much more empowered, like knowing where I'm at, and instead of, you know, like a band-aid. Or I remember in high school, that was what was pushed at me hard for my acne, when instead I had a hormonal imbalance that needed to be addressed.
Right. Exactly. So much. Exactly. So. Asking the questions. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. This was so beneficial and just jam packed. I'm sorry that it was like rapid fire at you, but I knew you had so much good stuff to say. So thank
you. I know. We could talk for days, I promise. And hopefully I'll be back on your podcast, because I think that you have so much great information that you're getting out to women. And I'm so proud of you for doing this. So thank you.
Thank you. Before wrapping up this episode, I want to shout out MJ8 for leaving a review on Apple Podcasts titled Mama to Be. 5-star review. She says, I have been listening to this podcast since I found out I was pregnant. I'm now 28 weeks. Every episode is so informative and eases my mind as a first-time mom. I truly feel as if we were all mom friends just hanging out. I am so excited for the future of this podcast. Thank you, Layla. Thank you for making my day and leaving this review. That means just so much. So, 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 so much. And as I'm preparing for baby number two and just like kind of wondering how the heck am I going to do this podcast and have a baby and figure it all out, it's reviews like this that really keep me going and keep me inspired. So thank you. If you are tuning into the podcast every week, would you please leave a rating and review to let me know why you are tuning in or how this podcast is impacting you? It would really make the world of a difference. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode in honor of Infertility Awareness Week. I know that it was a very quick episode and it didn't get the time that it deserves. I wanted women to see that we see you, if that's you, if you're struggling with that. That you're not alone, and I hope that this episode was helpful. I will catch you back here next week.